this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
I want them to use like wireless energy, do like Tron like stuff, and have them like glowing.
But what do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
Why does everything have to be so retro?
It's better. It's still not good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Three in the Box. This is the December 4th edition, and this is the Meat Beast. I'm sitting here with Aaron, sitting to my right with his headphones over his bald head and full beard.
Chad really likes this when I say, yeah.
Should I call that a Decembeard that you're rocking right now?
I'll go with it.
All right. Across from me is Kenny with the more grizzled yet trimmed look beard.
What up?
I'm working my way back to just the molestache right now, slowly but surely, after not shaving for 2 months, and these guys are all laughing at my heredity. But behind me, of course, is our producer, Jive Midnight.
Save me. They've got me pinned to the boards.
Yeah, well, you know, it's also the fact that you've got a name that sounds like you should be DJing late night radio.
Woo-woo.
All right, gentlemen.
Holla.
It's been a couple of weeks.
Wow, yeah.
Thanksgiving break and, you know, everybody's holidays go good. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Eat a lot of turkey.
Yeah.
A lot of wine. Drink a lot of beer.
I ate a lot of brisket.
Actually,
oh, yeah.
This year, I actually finally just ate and slept. I pulled, like, the classic uncle routine. And Courtney and I had some people over. I just woke up, would reach up to the coffee table, fill up a bowl full of turkey and gravy, and then fall right back to sleep after I finished eating it and just kept doing that all day long.
Nice.
I watched some hand egg.
Some hand egg?
Yeah. And I think the team in silver won.
Ah. Hey, did you happen to see if there was any AHL games going on down in Texas this year when you're down there?
Unfortunately, I didn't because we were nowhere near Houston. But Houston doesn't have a team anymore. Close enough to San Antonio, but
San Antonio?
No San Antonio.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, folks, would like to take this brief moment to remind you to follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. And, yeah, we should probably just get right
into
the wild.
Usually game days.
Let's go.
So, after this long couple of weeks of some time off, wild, you know, another shootout game, but Curly Fries.
Curly Fries.
And that was back on Saturday, November 23rd, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Wild beat the Jets 3-2 in a shootout. Parisi, 2 points, goal and assist. Needle Niederreiter gets a goal. Koivu Coil. Each get the shootout goals in 4 rounds.
Nice.
No, it was actually a very fulfilling game. but at the same point, the Jets, they held their own. The Wild, there was times where it looked like the Wild probably should have lost, but, you know.
That seems to be the case more often than not lately.
Okay, and this also is the same time frame that Granlund ended up getting out from a concussion.
Yeah,
that was originally caused by Kadri from Toronto. Like, I want to say that was the same game that Kadri
took out Backstrom.
Yep. And, Konopka and Rupp are both back, making that a little less likely in theory. What do you think that's going to help out? Having Konopka and Rupp back, is that going to make it less likely?
I don't think it is. A dirty player is going to be a dirty player. All that's going to happen is there's going to be retaliation against that player. And more than likely, depending on who the player is, it might not even be retaliation on him. It could just be the other fighter getting beat down.
Well, and, I mean, this was Granlund's first game missed. He played the game immediately after and then started. He was just out of sorts, I think.
Out of sorts, and I don't think his time on ice was as high either.
They hadn't identified the concussion. They realized he was a little bit off, and then during the previous game, I want to say, is when they actually established the fact that he obviously had concussion-like symptoms and sent him to go get checked out.
Well, I mean, and I guess I would say that having Konopka and Rupp there, when you were going up some of these East Coast teams that have really been piling up the bruisers. And there's a few, you know, Western teams that have it, like St. Louis, where they have guys that are willing to go and get into the dirty areas. You know, maybe a guy like Rupp and Konopka, even though Konopka loses every fight he's in, maybe it's good to have those kind of guys around there just to be equalizers.
He doesn't lose. There's just not a clear winner.
Okay.
Well, okay, hold on. There's a clear winner. Just never mind.
He doesn't lose. His face does.
His face loses. Exactly.
Okay. Guys, first of all, there's no room anymore for just a straight-ahead goon. We all know that. We all agree with that. Correct? Mm-hmm. Lovely. But a straight-ahead enforcer that can still at least skate, that should be relegated to your fourth line at best. That's what we're talking about. That's what I think you're talking about insofar as having some bruisers out east. Some of them do actually have enough skill to be above the fourth line, but that is few and far between. We used to have enforcers on our squad,
yeah,
and we still have two names we can bring up.
One and a half.
Why did
one and
we,
a face.
Yeah, one and a face, whatever. Konopka's won like two fights out of, what, 30? But still,
really?
He at least is willing to drop the gloves and tussle.
Hey, Jive, can you fact check that on hockey fights? See how many fights Konopka's actually won?
Yeah, how many fights and how many has won? If you don't mind, please, producer, sir.
But at the same point, I mean, you got Konopka, you got Rupp. Neither of them are really, you know, what you consider a traditional enforcer, though.
No, Rupp actually,
totally
this past Tuesday or past Monday, ended up getting into a little scrum.
Right, right.
It's got to be one of his first games back since getting called back
from
Iowa.
He's played a few, but
Iowa. But again, not a, you know, he can fight and he can throw some haymakers, but he's not the enforcer as in Bugard or
when he gets on the ice, people might notice him, but they're not.
Oh, yeah.
They're not. It's not like when
the
Bugard,
intimidation factor isn't there.
It's not like
saying
back in the day when Bugard get on the ice and
he,
the crowd goes crazy
was going on.
And you know someone's gonna get their clock clean.
Absolutely,
it's not like that at all. And you know,
one of the last great enforcers, which we have discussed. Here's the other thing. Why was there not? And I'm going to change the way that this was originally written. Why was the retaliation not there?
We didn't have anybody.
Granlund getting.
We had nobody out.
Somebody.
Well,
still
when Granlund got hit,
to
Kadri got knocked off the ice. Or Kadri got kicked
and he
out
had
of the game.
He had already had a misconduct from taking Backstrom out of the game.
Now, no, he did not.
No, he
got a 2 minute.
He got a 2 minute on it.
He
yeah
did not get a
you're
misconduct
right
for
you're
taking
absolutely
up
right
Backstrom.
He did only yeah get a 2 minute for taking up Backstrom. Why didn't anybody else step up and drop the gloves?
Oh,
I mean, we're talking
no
about the general thing, the
yeah
general issues of the code here. Somebody, regardless, okay, there's not
there was a lot of guys that went after him.
Should
but
have
got
dropped the gloves and made sure to teach him as best they could. And even if they lost, they should have just went, you're going to get called to task and be ready.
Okay,
now.
So, yeah. Josh, let me ask you this. So, I believe when Backstrom got steamrolled, it was one of our top lines out there. Why would we want one of our top guys to drop the gloves with a goon and lose not only our goalie but one of our star players for 5 minutes
but
plus?
We know it doesn't always work like that. The fight might come a shift or two later.
He was asking me the question, so I'd like to answer.
I'm just saying.
The fact that the whistle was already blown and the puck was ruled dead, and the fact that you can't drop the gloves at that point without getting ejected from the game is exactly why the top line didn't bother. And why? And they shouldn't have. You're right. They should not have. We don't necessarily want to risk it. But I've definitely seen Koivu tussle. I've definitely over infractions
no
against other players where he was protecting them. Therefore, I don't accept the question as totally valid.
There were guys that jumped in right away when Backstrom got steamrolled. He was not the linesmen were in there right away
and
breaking
same
stuff up.
That same
there
game
were guys
there
in
was
there.
There
I
was
mean,
points where Koivu was starting to throw people around like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah. You made it sound like, you know, he steamrolled Backstrom and everybody just kind of skated back on, oh, I don't want to touch this
no
guy. No, the guys jumped in right off the bat.
Here is mainly my point. There is still the unwritten rule. You do not mess with the goalie. You get in there and you steamroll the goalie. You interfere with the goalie in a way that's less than just interfering with sightline or any of that. You are going to get your butt beat,
well,
and
absolutely
that's all there is to it, and you know you're going to get called to task.
We had nobody even called up that could take on him.
But I think it goes back to the thought is, you need someone standing up, and there was no really response, not even that immediate shift, nor a following shift.
This is true.
All right, folks. So. Unfortunately, I have to get running. This is Meat Beast signing off. I'm going to leave it up to the capable hands of Aaron, Jive, and Kenny. Even though I hope you guys get my point that everybody, no matter what, always make sure to drop the gloves for the goalie.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for listening. The guys will take over the rest of the show. I'm sorry I have to cut out early. Unfortunately, somebody called in sick to work. Love you guys.
So as we bid the Meat Beast adieu, we'll go on to the next game where the Wild get unceremoniously shut out by the Blues 3-0.
Yuck.
You
know, and this is the beginning of a four-game losing streak, too, which really kind of hurt. Yeah, just not a good game. Not playing well. They had no offense. It was just ugly.
I mean, it's, yeah, and it's a four-game losing streak. I mean, luckily, within that streak, they were able to get a point out of that through some overtime.
Well, and speaking of points, starting with the next game, one of our favorite players to hate, Mr. Danny Heatley, got a goal. He gets a Wild soul goal when the Wild lose 3-1 to Phoenix.
Yeah, he didn't fall over, at least on the goal.
At least on the goal. I don't know. I mean, that goal and the one, I believe, against Colorado the next game, he was in the same spot right down where he always gets his garbage goals, right down on the left side of the goalie.
He just parks his slow ass right in front of the goalie and
swings.
I tell you what, though, at the end of the day, a goal is a goal is a goal.
It is. Unfortunately, Phoenix got three and we only got one.
All looks the same on the tally sheet.
Yeah, but a goal in two games when your team loses 3-1 in both games.
All-star material.
All-star.
All-star.
So
that follow-up game, Wild lose 3-1 against the Coyotes. Wild then.
Home and home, back-to-back against Colorado.
Yeah. Wild lose again, 3-1, another Heatley sole goal. Again, didn't fall over.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
We got a few interesting points about that game, though, and yeah, about that day in general.
So we'll start off with Heatley, since he's the number one topic for these past two games. So Heatley's got two goals in his last two games, and he's now tied with Koivu with six goals for on the team. you know, are we seeing a Heatley resurgence? Or is it just that the rest of the team just stinks so bad that, you know?
I think, A, the team has been in a drought. B, Healy's been getting shuffled around on every imaginable line possible lately. I think putting him with some better players, like I had said, he camping down on the left side of the goalie like that, you put him on lines with players that are shooting the puck and actually can shoot on net, he's bound to get those goals. However, the goal against Colorado was not necessarily completely that way. It was close, though.
I mean, I guess my question really is that, you know, while he's been on a bit of a tear, I mean, four goals in the last eight games,
yep,
which this season is a lot for him. You know, earlier in his career, it's probably not that big a deal. But, you know, four goals in eight games, that's a 40-goal pace. That's respectable on any way you cut it. It really is. But is he versatile enough to actually make that a living? And especially, is he going to do that when the team is losing? Because when we're winning, he doesn't seem to be that much of a factor.
That's true. I don't know. I think he's maybe trying to get his possible trade value up. That wouldn't really do a whole lot for him.
I don't know,
Jive.
Do you think he has any trade value, though?
I don't know about trade value.
He should have been on the chopping block last year.
You guys can rip on him all you want for garbage goals or this goal and that goal. But I tell you what, probably about 80% of the goals scored in hockey in general are garbage goals. You know,
Fair enough.
It's pretty rare that you see that shot of beauty that just makes that line just straight through everybody and right into the net.
No, it's true. I mean, look at how many times Parisi scored, and it's just tipping, deflecting,
camping,
deflecting a puck and giving the goalie a weird angle that he can't stop, you know?
And there's something to be said about just being in the right spot at the right time. Yeah, that's you know, your hockey senses.
That's the one thing I see with Parise, though, that I don't necessarily see with Heatley, is Parise will be down in the corner grinding it out to pass the puck around behind the net and then get into that spot to get that rebound. Heatley, I see Heatley camping out down there and praying for that puck to come to him.
He's doing the Sean Avery, just get in the face of the goalie and hope that something pops there.
Oh, God, if he ever waves his hands in front of the goalie.
But I mean, really, he's just parking himself there. And then
from what I've seen.
And then on the flip side, though, the one in the Wild on defense, he's cheating forward, you know.
I have noticed that a lot.
And basically being a non-factor defensively, which is, you know, it's really, that does not help the Wild one bit.
No, not at all. You know,
I mean, and I'm sure young, fast Heatley could get away with that because he could skate down the ice and it was a little more mobile and he could get away with that. But nowadays, I mean, he's a 30 something guy. He needs to be able to be a little more versatile because he's not putting up points like he used to be.
No, absolutely. With that lone goal against Colorado, though, the second assist actually came from former Minnesota Golden Gopher as of last year, Mr. Eric Halla.
Halla.
He makes his NHL debut against the Friday the 11th, the 29th of November. Got called up over Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, it gets Mike Rupp's on bereavement, so Halla gets a surprise call-up.
He happened to be in town visiting friends for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he didn't even have a suit.
No suit. He said, thank God, because it's Black Friday, he could get a suit on the cheap. They just played in Chicago against what is Chicago's AHL team? The Ice Hogs?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
And all his gear, his suits were all heading back down to Iowa when he got called up. So, yeah, he went shopping real quick and made his NHL debut against Colorado at home. Not bad getting an assist in front of the home crowd for the first time playing back in Minnesota since he played with the Gophers.
I mean, he's played in the X before in his college career.
I believe he also played in his high school career.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And I know reading the articles afterwards that he said that, you know, it was fun being back there and being there as a professional rather than just as an amateur. But I think the question really is, you know, is Halla really ready for the NHL?
Halla looked absolutely amazing that game.
I thought he looked good, too.
Just super quick. I know Yo was really,
yo.
really appreciative of him, complimenting him. I think he might have had like one bad shift out there, but he was looking really good offensively and defensively.
But you got to look at, I mean, how he's doing in the AHL. He's got 10 points in 18 games in the AHL. That's 4 goals, 6 assists. Is a point every other game going to cut it as an NHLer? I mean,
Let's look at some of our current top line guys right now.
Well, but AHL is considerably different than NHL.
This is true.
I mean, is he going to be one of those rare cases where he can't score in the AHL, but then he gets the National League and he's all of a sudden a rock star?
It's quite possible, but I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that. I think he just wanted to show what he was capable of, put on his A-plus game, skated his butt off, and, you know, did good.
And you never know what a little bit of line chemistry will do. I mean, it makes a lot of difference playing with a couple of juniors than a couple of seniors up here, you know?
Well, I mean, you don't have to look much further than Pominville and Granlund to see that, you know, putting the right people on the ice, it's going to make a big difference on you know, how things are played out. You know,
and honestly, our Wild team is it's a pretty young team, so he wouldn't have been too far removed from some of these guys age-wise.
Yeah, but you have to admit that there's a big difference between the NHL and the WCHA.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to discount his 18 games in the American League, but WCHA collegiate hockey is considerably different because, A, you don't have the number of Canadians that you do in the National League. So you don't have the talent pool is definitely more limited.
This is true.
I mean, granted, he's playing in Minnesota, so you've got, as far as an American style, you have a better talent pool that way.
He was playing with one of the best teams in the league.
Right. But at the same point, he's still young. I mean, he left college a year or two early. And so, you know, he's still got time to develop. So I don't think it's a death knell if he comes up to the Wild and isn't consistently great. I think he's got time to work on that in Iowa.
Look at Granlund last year.
Yeah,
Granlund was a prime example of that, and he came up and everybody's expecting a huge rock star, and he did. Yeah. He played great his first couple of games, and then he slowly took the slide down, and I don't know if he got comfortable with the guys, got comfortable with who he was around or what the deal was, but he started slipping, and sent him back down to Houston at the time.
Yeah.
Let him condition a little bit more, and now he's come back like a rock star. Unfortunately, we don't really have him right now.
Right.
As we talked about, all with the concussion.
Yeah,
violent and dangerous.
Which is fortunate for Halla. Part of the reason he got brought up.
And it means he can kind of stick around, especially since other players like Fontaine are struggling.
Exactly.
And we've got room on the additional roster to have some guys scratched for a period. Well, we can kind of look at Halla and let him get a few more games under his belt.
I'd like to see him play a little bit more. Speaking of that, I believe right around that same time, or maybe it was coming up, with guys going back and forth, was Dumba, too. Speaking of scratch guys, he's been scratched the past few games.
Yeah.
Kind of, I think, with the contract between the CCAC?
I think it's WHL, because it's Red Deer.
Red Deer. But he is, the Wild, assuming he's healthy, are releasing him to play for Team Canada in the juniors. So.
And he is young enough. You know.
He is.
But I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think Dumba's going to be a star once he figures out the ebbs and flows.
Well, we got to kind of watch where Dumba's at right now, whether it's going to screw his career in the WHL or not, or if he even wants to continue that career or just try to jump up to the big times.
Well, the thing is, if the Wild don't if they want to release him and don't want him to play, he has to go back to the WHL. He can't go to the AHL.
Right.
Because of the way the contracts are set up.
But if he plays one more game, I don't think they can release him back to Red Deer, can they?
Yes, they can.
Can they?
Yep. The thing is, I think it's 49 games is where the next cutoff is, and that will depend on whether or not he eats up a full year of his contract.
Okay.
But at this point, since he's still young enough, if he gets... demoted, basically. Sent down. He doesn't go to the AHL. He goes back to the
WHL.
Yep. And so he goes back to the juniors, and he doesn't really have a choice. The question is really, does that really help his development?
I don't think it does.
Because it seems like he's kind of figured out that league. He's not going to develop a whole lot there. I think he does well enough at the NHL level. He's not a first, second line D man though yet.
I would like to see him get a full contract after this year, so we can send him down to Houston when need be. I'm not trying to disgrace the WHL, but you don't have the same guys that he's going to be playing against going up and down from.
Well, I think after this year, I think he's old enough where if they send him down, he does go to the AHL. So that shouldn't be an issue, but. The bigger question is does it really help the Wild keep scratching him?
It doesn't.
He's not developing.
He's not developing. He's not playing.
Right.
He's practicing and skating with the team, but he's not getting...
That's not gameplay.
He's not getting that gameplay. He's not getting that physicality of actually getting bumped around and fighting in the corners and going against guys that are given 110% to try to get a goal.
Right.
So... All right. So
yeah, we kind of talked about it the Wild back to back with Colorado. Then yep. The next game, oh, you know, they were down. What was it, 2-0? And I mean, that went late into the third. But I think that maybe they turned a corner.
Maybe.
Yeah, they tied it back up there late in the third, only to lose in the shootout. But another round of curly fries.
No.
You lose the shootout, no curly fries for you.
Oh.
Yeah, the worst promotion ever, especially considering the Wild's proclivity to lose in the shootout.
Well, maybe it's the smartest promotion ever. Look at that. It's advertising for Arby's whether they win or lose.
Not if you're a knowledgeable fan, because that just makes you irate, really.
Maybe you can get some potato cakes then for an overtime loss.
I haven't had potato cakes in ages. And those are delicious.
Those were tasty. Might have to go to Arby's later.
Don't go to the one on Snelling, because that place is horrible.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. That's the only one that, where's the other closest Arby's to here?
Nowhere.
I didn't think so.
That's why I haven't gotten any curly fries this year. I'm really bummed out. Really, I'm bumming for some curly fries, man.
Some
justice curly fries.
So, yeah, Wild get a point against Colorado.
Yep.
Not two and no curly fries for Jive.
Nope. Darn.
But next game, Monday, they get a shutout. Not a shootout, a shutout against Philly, 2-0.
Granted, Philly stinks.
It was honestly the first two periods of that game were pretty boring. No goals until the third. Pominville and Coyle each get goals 58 seconds apart. Once Pominville got his, it's like the whole stadium erupted. It was about halfway through the third. And Coyle just got it right back again. And decent game after that. So if you like a good, 10 minutes of hockey, 15 minutes of hockey, it's awesome.
Short and sweet, right?
Short and sweet. Yeah.
It's one of those games where, like, if you go to the X halfway through the first, you can get like super heavily discounted tickets.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
game. That would have been a good game to go to.
Yeah.
Rupp, first fight since he's been called, or since he got back up. Rosehill was being a little aggressive towards some of the players. So this is one spot where I agree with having a guy that can fight, because Rosehill was definitely getting a little cocky with some of the players. I forgot who he almost got into with earlier. Might have been Brodziak or something like that, or he did something. And Rupp finally had his time with him. And honestly, I don't think I've seen a much more, I guess it would have been a draw for a fight, but both guys really had their ups. Rosehill just took some haymakers from Rupp right off the bat, and then Rupp ended up going down first.
So, okay, I'm going to kind of pose this question out of the blue here. So Rupp and Konopka are both on the fourth line, right?
Bruisers.
Both bruisers on the fourth line. Konopka gets a big props for winning faceoffs, right?
Yep.
He's right. I think
he's his face beat.
I think right now he's active leader in faceoff percentage.
For the Wild?
For career.
Oh, for okay. Career. Yeah.
And the question is what good is winning faceoffs if your team is not, if your line is unoffensive, I guess I will say. They've basically, I don't want to say zero chance of scoring, but damn near zero chance
of
scoring.
Well, there's something to be said about just having the puck control.
Sure.
You need to have that as well. You know, somebody who can just go out there and take some time off the clock.
But is there maybe, if you got a guy who's winning all these faceoffs, is there maybe not a better benefit of moving him to play with guys that might be able to score?
Well, they have. I've seen him on the penalty kill lines where they
yeah, but I mean, we scored one shorthanded goal all year. I mean,
yeah. Well, no, but it's more for the defensive faceoff.
Right.
To get the puck control.
Okay. I can see that, but teams normally don't employ a guy who just can play well only in the PK or only in the power play.
Maybe they like Hoppy.
At some point, Konopka brings Hoppy to the negotiation table when he's negotiating his contract.
Dude.
And Fletcher is hypnotized by the rabbit.
By the cute little buddy rabbit? Like, come on. Maybe it's his new negotiation tactic.
Maybe Konopka is really just brilliant and no one else knows it.
Or maybe...
Yo.
...is just brilliant and he is, like, turning a page here in the hockey book. And pretty soon we're going to have face-off specialists, kind of like we've got middle relievers and late middle relievers and a middle reliever and then finally a closer in baseball. You know?
I think that's a different sport and totally not relevant because...
I think you missed the third inning pitcher.
Oh, that one too.
Look at it this way. I look at hockey, and I hate to say basketball, but basketball is probably closer to hockey than...
Baseball.
You don't have a guy who's a slam dunk specialist who can't dribble.
Well,
and Konopka is basically that guy.
That kind of goes with you don't have a hockey player that can't skate.
Okay.
Just because you can dribble doesn't mean you can dribble good. Just because you can skate doesn't mean you can skate good.
Right.
That's kind of one of the fundamentals of the sport.
Yes. And, I mean, obviously, Konopka can skate. So maybe dribbling isn't the best analogy.
And dribbling, wouldn't that just be running in basketball? You run in basketball.
It'd be traveling. maybe he can't pass. I mean, you need to have one other tool other than just being able to jump high. You know,
you got another tool on the team. It's called Heatley.
Wow.
Wow, I just went there.
You just went there, man.
And his other tool is he's our enforcer.
His face likes to take a punch. Although Jive, I think you did pull up that stat, and he's won, according to HockeyFights.com, 3 out of 5 fights this year.
Three out of five fights this year.
I was actually shocked by that.
I want to know who's voting.
It's all Wild fans like, yeah, Konopka totally won that one. The other guy was bleeding... kind of less than Konopka was.
That guy had less blood on his fist than Konopka did on his face. Or wait, the other way around.
Well, it could very well be true. His first fight of the season was against Kyle Clifford.
I vaguely remember that fight, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, how many people in Los Angeles really care about
Oh, okay.
That's a solid point, actually.
Yep. Second fight of the year was against one in Anaheim.
Against Clune?
Matt Bileski. Bileski.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I always say his name wrong.
But then again, Southern California.
Right. How many people are watching hockey?
Wait, wasn't that early enough in the year where it was still nice outside? I think people were still surfing and watching baseball.
Probably.
Yep.
And then his third win followed up in Nashville against one Rich Clune. And there you go again. Who in Tennessee is down there watching hockey?
His three wins are all by against teams below the Mason-Dixon line. Yep. I'm going to say that these voting results are not weighted by IP location.
The two that he lost against, Jive, what teams are those?
One was Rich Clune again. In Nashville, but
okay.
So, but he was that was a closer. 70% of the vote went to Clune. So.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
And then against Brandon Prust.
Yeah.
In Montreal,
I believe he got his butt kicked on that one. Yep.
Yeah.
And the Canadians will let you know.
Yay.
Huh. It actually makes me think about the whole hockey fights
scoring system.
Voting system, yeah. Because you don't, I don't think you allege who you're, what team you root for when you vote on.
No,
this.
You don't. I don't think so.
There's really no limiting on the bias, potential bias of a
vote. Usually the people voting on hockey fights, though, from what I've seen, have been pretty spot on. I mean,
you've met them?
No, I'm just looking at, from my opinion, watching some of the fights and seeing where the vote's at, you know.
You feel they're pretty balanced.
And usually you'll get like the 10% homer vote no matter what.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you could have a guy knocked out laying on the ice in convulsions. He won. No. That's my team.
It's
kind
of like
he beat the ice.
It's kind of like playing pick'ems with you guys here. You know, you guys are always homers going for the Wild to win.
We'll see about that this time around.
We'll see about that.
We'll see.
All right. So, yeah.
Anyway, I think this is time for a yo-yo-yo moment.
Yo-yo-yo!
So after today's practice, Yo noted that the Wild is in the bottom half of the league in shot attempts from the blue line. Do we think that the Wild blue line is dragging down team scoring? I mean, take this for a matter of fact. For comparison, the Wild D has 49 points. Chicago D, who is, I think, we wish we had a team as great as Chicago has as a team. Chicago's D has 82 points. Wild has 200 shots in goal. Wild D, sorry, has 200 shots in goal. Chicago D has 291 shots in goal.
That looks like just a percentage number. I think our guys just need to be a little bit more accurate.
Well, I mean, could it be a matter of that, you know, just as we're talking about those garbage goals where someone lets one loose and it's all a matter of, you know, a Heatley or a Parisi changing the trajectory of that puck. A lot of those tend to come from the blue line. Are we not releasing enough shots from the blue line? Or maybe
they're just not working it out to the blue line enough, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we're too busy digging around down in the corners.
I've seen a lot of the
that's a good point. Open space.
Yeah. Well, I've also seen a lot of our D skate the puck in.
We've been doing a lot of that, yeah.
Which, you know, yeah, at that point I guess it'd still be a blue liner, but it's still a shot on goal, even whether it's from the blue line or from, you know, 2 feet in front of the goalie.
And it's also one thing to be said is that when the puck is coming out of the offensive zone, I feel our D are dropping back maybe a little bit early, but basically to our advantage though, we're out shooting most teams.
You know,
and honestly, we're not getting beat on a lot of stuff.
Right.
Where I used to notice that in previous years where. We'd have so many odd man rush because we had a guy fervently protecting the blue line,
trying to push it,
but not protecting it enough to actually keep the puck in the zone.
Right,
but
it's a tough job.
it's a tough job. But they weren't.
They're protecting the zone at.
They're doing two things mediocrely.
Ice.
They're doing two things mediocrely and nothing great. And that's really the problem.
Yeah.
This year they're obviously. I feel they've been protecting, keeping the puck in the zone way better than they have in the previous years.
Yep.
But they do drop back pretty quick.
They do. But that being said, I think that a lot of shots that our goalies even are seeing aren't even, you know, high quality shots, I guess, or, you know, from you know, high scoring areas, basically, you know?
I'm kind of torn because it's like I will start saying one thing about how our defense is playing, where they're actually skating up on the net and bringing the puck in, and then all of a sudden the next game I'll watch the game and it's like they're hesitant to even go past the top of the circle, where they're backing off right away and just playing D, you know, comment on it, and the following game they're doing just the opposite again. It's like I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I see them going back and forth, not really figuring out where they want to be right now.
And there has been a lot of, and I think even Yo has had mentioned it. There's been a lot of timidity on the team. They're not aggressive. They're kind of playing on their heels the whole game, and I don't think the forwards are necessarily doing that, but the T definitely is.
Well, and I think it was Parisi with this last losing spout, when they asked, you know, what's going on, he said, we've gotten comfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess that would be part of it with the D, too, just everybody playing on their heels and not actually playing aggressively. Once you start seeing that D stepping up, that's when you saw the Wild winning. Yeah. That's when you saw Brodin taking the puck, and you saw Suter taking the puck in, and you start to see some of the other guys bringing the puck in. I think right now, not having, what's his name, full-time, who's the other D we acquired?
Ballard.
Ballard, not having him up there the entire time.
It's hurt.
It has, because he is a solid blue line player who would take bombs from the blue line where you could count on them getting to the net or getting damn close where you got a good rebound.
And another great statistic that Russo had was that Dumba was the last Wild D-man not named Jonas Brodin to score, and he did that back on October 12th. We're almost 2 months since someone other than Brodin has scored.
From the blue line.
From the blue line.
That's sad. You know, with that.
And I'm pretty sure Dumba was even rushing in because he kind of.
I think he was.
He's more of that. He doesn't. I mean, he plays blue line, but he doesn't.
He's pretty north-south.
Yeah.
You know, I like Dumba, and going back to our previous conversation, I really hope he does sign so he can start developing more in the AHL. So, yeah, with that, also, Harding named third star for the month of November for the NHL.
Yeah, I mean,
when you're hot, you're hot.
And he definitely has been hot. I mean,
that last game against Philly had an amazing Superman diving save. I don't know. I think Philly even had their sticks up in the air thinking that they scored, and it was absolutely amazing. Talk about East-West. I mean, he was, I think his left leg was on the right side of the right goalpost.
He was dead to rights and still somehow blocked it.
God, barely. It was absolutely amazing.
And overall, you got to say that the Wild did have a pretty successful November, I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
minus the losing streak there.
They still got 2 points in that losing streak, or well, 1 point.
Well, the big thing though is while they were great in November, I mean, I think that's pretty. I think you make that statement and not feel too bad about it. While they were great. So was the rest of the Western Conference. So they were great, but they gained basically no ground.
What's going on with this Western Conference all of a sudden?
Well, I don't. I know in our back-to-back games with Colorado,
it was not pretty.
Well, the Wild were getting some decent chances and stuff, but when you run into a goalie who's just got it going on, was Varlamov? What can he say?
Yeah.
But at the same point, the Wild is always running into some goalie who's hot.
Well, you know, Varlamov was hot until he got 2 goals against him, and all of a sudden he had equipment malfunctions and skated to the bench after Colorado was out of timeouts. Or out of their timeout.
Right.
And you saw, did you see Waugh just laughing? He knew exactly what he was doing.
So you're telling me then that the Wild make goalies hot?
I think so.
Which
brings me up to this question. Is Harding the number one goalie for the Wild?
Yes.
Does he deserve that number one spot?
Yes.
Why were you paying Backstrom number one money then?
I don't know.
You're not a very good host. Go back to producing.
Nope.
So, you know, there's a couple of Yo quotes talking about Harding with him being named the third star of the month for November. One of the quotes is he was asked if Harding is the number one. And his quote was, "I don't get into that stuff, but he's playing like he deserves it. Let's put it this way. We know we also have another number one goalie in Backe."
So you got to wonder. I mean, I know... It was only like a month ago we were talking, okay, Wild need a backup goalie because Backstrom is hurt, he's got a concussion, what have you.
Well, first he was out with, what, his hamstring or something? Or
Yeah, he had another injury, and he has not been healthy. Harding hasn't necessarily been healthy, though, either.
Harding's got a very valid excuse.
Well, except when he's, like, MS is only an excuse to a point.
Right.
And I don't think many fans of the Wild right now have a ton of faith in Kemper.
No, not at all.
When there's any post with Kemper on Twitter has hashtag Civ on it.
I believe my favorite. I'm sorry, bud, for not getting your name on this quote. You know who you are, but it was if I'm making pasta, I'm calling Kemper because I need a good sieve.
So I mean, I don't know if do we try to trade Backstrom? I mean, because I would think he would have some value, and he's getting paid a lot. And I would hope that someone like Gustafson or Kemper could eventually be our backup or potentially a number one guy. Is there value to that? I mean,
I think at this point right now that you don't want to give something like that up. Basically, I mean, the Wild could, make a playoff run this year. And I think if we're going to have a playoff run that, you want that solidarity, in goal.
But if you're making a playoff run, I mean, how many teams actually, rotate goalies in the playoff run?
Well,
it doesn't really happen.
You know, well,
They ride a single goalie until they lose.
Didn't it work well for us last year when we...
No. Right. Harding got ground into the frickin' ice before when everybody else is playing a two-goalie system because the games are so tight and back-to-back. Yo, pretty much rode Harding
Backstrom last year.
Yes, last year we were riding Backstrom.
Yep.
That's right. And then Backstrom got hurt right at playoff time.
Yep.
And then it was all on Harding.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have that again.
Yeah.
Harding can't be playing just because Backstrom's hurt. If they're gonna make Harding the number one goalie, he's gotta be the number one spot.
Or maybe we make it a true 50-50 split.
That would be absolutely amazing. He can't be playing guys until they're, playing their goalies while they're hot, and then all of a sudden trying out your backup goalie or your other goalie.
After he sat on the bench cold for over a month.
Seriously, should be a true two-goalie system with those two, I believe.
While I don't disagree with that, it should be a two-goalie system. While we have both of them, I don't think in the playoffs that teams actually employ a two-goalie system. You have so many days off, and so many teams are so averse to not riding the hot hand.
So what you're telling me is that hockey players are a bunch of pussies for having all those days off.
When back in the Lemaire days, though, when we were actually making playoffs, we were riding a true two-goalie system, and it worked very well with Fernandez and Rolison.
How far did we make it?
That one, they actually made it to the...
That's when we got beat by Anaheim.
Yeah, but it was after we took out Vancouver and Colorado.
Right.
I mean, what can you say about last year? I mean, we lost to the eventual...
Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah.
I mean, but who was in goal for the Stanley Cup winner?
It would have been Harding.
For the winner.
Oh, Crawford.
Was that?
It's Crawford, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And how many times did Ray Emery play in the playoffs?
None.
Exactly. Year before that, LA Kings won.
Quick. All the time.
Yes.
But
that's my whole point. Come playoff time.
Playoff time, you ride who's hot.
You ride who's hot, you ride one goalie. If you're switching goalies midstream, it means you're in doubt, you don't know what the hell's going on, and you're probably going to lose.
This is true. The thing with riding one goalie through the playoffs, though, is you're playing the same team over and over, and they get to know the players. They get to know where their shots are going to go. So you ride that hot goalie during at least that one series because they're getting used to playing against those players. They know what to expect.
No, this is true. But I don't know.
So the other thing, I know I had brought this up before, was it seems like the skaters seem to play better for Harding than they do for Backstrom.
And I know we've touched on that before.
Yo had another quote with this that I think is kind of funny. There was a long discussion, but at the end of it, he's like, I also think it's been a compliment to the guys and the way they've been playing in front of them. The guys have recognized his efforts, and they've rewarded him by playing well in front of him.
And he did mention that. He also mentioned that, teams have fewer shots on goal I would assume because of block shots and what have you.
I swear those skaters do not want backs from around. And, you know, okay, going back to Josh's point earlier, maybe when Backstrom did get steamrolled, there was a reason nobody stood up for him.
Well, that's a wow.
It's a stretch, and it's a very much conspiracy theory. You got the
I like it, though. Yeah. I really like it.
I think
it.
I need a tinfoil hat right now.
Wow, the thought of that just actually blows my mind.
It's a lot of stretching. And
I remember the only one angry person was Koivu. It's a Finnish conspiracy.
It is. Oh.
And who else got knocked out during that game?
Granlund. Finn. Oh.
Whoa.
Wow, they don't like the Finns.
This is like the Da Vinci Code, man.
Holy crap. All right, I think we've beat that horse long enough.
Yeah, so the
nerds!
So the upcoming week, the Wild have got a few games going on. We've got the Blue Jackets. Holy crap here. We got the Blue Jackets on Friday.
We got somebody versus tomorrow.
Sorry, we got the Blackhawks
first.
Thanks,
Meat Beast.
Yeah, Meat Beast left us a little bit of a... Swiss cheese schedule here. Blackhawks are at the Wild on Thursday. That'd be tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Cynet, you'll be probably listening to that at the end of the game. On Friday, the Wild are playing in Columbus versus the Blue Jackets. Sunday, Sharks at the Wild. The return of our good friend and lover of pets, our own Grizzly Man. / Chewbacca, Brent Burns.
He's shaved now.
Yeah.
I think he's growing it back, though.
Yeah, give him a couple weeks, and he'll be back to...
Dude, that guy can seriously grow facial hair and a hair faster than anybody I know.
And then next Wednesday, we'll have a podcast going on, but we might get in just under the wire. But the Wild will be out West Coast. They'll be playing the Ducks. That's a 9:30 Central Time game. And...
So Aaron, game of the week hold on, who won the last week?
Yeah, last week, that would have been, I want to say it was,
whoa.
So last game of the week was Wild at the Jets. That would have been the Saturday game a couple weeks ago. The big winner was moi. I called the score right on the tits.
Yeah, you did.
3-2, Wild win. Everyone else was pretty close. We were all kind of clumped together, except for Jive. Jive was the lone loser to pick the Jets.
Wow,
he
didn't even get one of the scores right either.
Yeah, wow. Baby.
Wow. He got the Wild score right.
He got the Wild score right. He just got the Jet score wildly wrong.
Yeah. Oh.
Heyo. So yeah.
There was no win in that peg. Sorry.
So since I'm the winner, I'm going to choose the game of the week for this upcoming week, and I'm going to pick my buddy Brent Burns coming Sharks at the Wild as our game of the week. I'm going to choose wow.
Are you done, John? Although, oh, yeah. I gotta say, that was probably one of the best producing jobs you've done yet. Way to be on your A game.
So, right. Since I'm choosing the Sharks at the Wild, Jive, what is your pick for the game of the week score?
I'm gonna take the Sharks 3-1. I can't vote for the Wild anymore, right?
You're riding black all the way, right?
No comment. I plead the fifth.
His doctor said the same thing.
So since the Meat Beast took off, I'm going to...
Posthumously?
Yes, I'm going to lay down his pick. He had chosen Wild to win 3-2.
And yeah, Kenny here picking the Sharks to win 3-2.
And lamentably, I am also choosing the Sharks. Since I have to pick a different score, I went with 4-2. I want the Wild to win. I hope they win.
I hope they win.
I hope I'm wrong, But the Sharks, honestly, they have a great road record. I think it's going to be a one-goal game. It'll probably be 3-2. I just don't know that the Wild can pull it off. It's going to be tough. But, you know, here's hoping.
So, you know, if anything, we're just giving Josh, doing Josh a favor by all picking the Sharks since he had to leave.
Right. And just one last note before we close up the show. We're looking to choose a three-in-the-box high school hockey team. Last year we covered the Edina Hornets as our hockey team.
Every day I need attention.
Every day. I don't know why. I don't even know why we chose them. Do we happen across them? I don't know. Did we lose a bet, you know, or something? But that was kind of our team that we followed for a good portion. They won at some point.
Yeah.
So we're looking to put up a poll, and we want people to choose who will be our high school hockey team to follow the season. We'll keep tabs on them, and we'll root for them come state tourney time because, you know, we got no horses in this race, really.
No, my high school didn't have a hockey team.
And mine, I just won't even acknowledge them, so. And Washburn doesn't have a team anymore, do they?
Nope.
No, they're part of.
It's all one team for the city of Minneapolis. Yeah. No.
Are they down to one team?
The Minneapolis Storm, I believe so.
Oh, wow. It used to at least be East and West or right. North and South.
That sounds like a professional like field hockey team or something.
Yeah, doesn't Minnesota have one of those? Lacrosse?
That's a swarm.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Get it straight, buddy.
Sorry. Swarm, storm, field hockey, lacrosse.
Anyway, we'll wrap this thing up. Again, my name is Aaron. I'm kind of filling in for the meat piece who's taken off. He's got to make some money and got to pay some bills. you can follow me on Twitter at Aaron GNP. Me and the boys here, we occasionally live tweet games. You can follow us at 3 in the box. On Twitter, we make witty jokes. We talk about how much Heatley falls over. And we talk about drinking a lot because often we are quite drunk when we're listening to these games.
And this is Jive. And when they don't have me pinned to the boards here, you can certainly follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter. Thanks, folks, and have a good night.
And this is Kenny signing off. You can follow me at RottenK999 on Twitter. So I believe that's it. Huh, gentlemen? Good show.
Good show.
Amen.
And have a good night.
Hello.